Have you ever taken time alone in your room or somewhere else alone, and you enter deeply to think or reflect on the profound realities of lives? You consider questions such as why you are alive while those born alongside you are not. Why are you alive? Those who were born with you, they are not there. Even those who were born after you, they're gone. Why are you alive? Or why you were born in a place of abundance or suffering, or in such particular place in the world? Why are some Christians somewhere persecuted, whereas we are having good time worshiping, praising our God? Those are the questions that sometimes we need to take time and ponder and think about. When you take time to think of those questions, it leads you to prayer, to pray for others, to pray for the world, brothers and sisters in the world. Today, I want to invite you to go or to come with me to Africa. The reason is because before I came to Canada, you know, I was born in Congo, raised in Congo, but then due to the war, we had to flee to Uganda and live in the refugee camp for 5 years, and then we came here. You guys know the story. We are part of this church, so. But when I came here, you know, with my 6 children and my wife, God help us, our children now are grown up, they're all married, they have families. I am blessed. For information now, my other boy has another child, so I'm blessed with 12 grandchildren. Let's clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! I always tell people, you know, I do Uber, I drive Uber. I tell people whenever you see Prime Minister, tell him stop to bring people. We are busy filling this place. Just joking. So when we came here, I told myself, I'm not going to just sit here, start eating and forgetting where I come from. I was in the refugee camp for 5 years. I suffered. I know what suffering is. I know what starvation is. I know what sleeping outside, no roof, no nothing. I know that. I went literally through hell. So I told myself, I'm not going to just enjoy life in Canada and forget people. So I'll be going back there. I'll be going back there to for the good cause. So I want to present to you, if possible, if you allow me, just a couple minutes, the mission work that I do in Uganda. Some of you are supporting me by sending the clothes. Some of you are supporting me in prayers. And this is not the first time I'm presenting this mission work. You'll remember that last time I was here also, I presented the part of the work I do. I do go to Africa every year. And come with me. Let's go quickly because of time. So that's a presentation of the mission work that I do there, and that is recently in May. And this time around, I had a chance to be with a team of 5 people who say, Sam, you've been going alone, we're going to go with you. So I got 5 people from Richmond who went with me there, and we had a good time. So I go to Uganda. Why Uganda? Because Uganda hosts Africa's largest refugee camp, 1.6 million people, even more. And because Uganda seemed to be a very quiet and peaceful country, and all around Uganda there's too many chaos and fighting. And also their news, like Africa News, says that 3.6% of population of Uganda are refugees. Look at that. And on average 2,500 people arrive in Uganda almost every week from different corner of the world. So you see Uganda there is one of the country which is a small country, but in the center, in the east of Africa, and which is peaceful. And the president of Uganda is a good president. He's a Christian, his wife as well. So they are welcoming. They are good people. You see me there with the team that other African men. This is a pastor of the local church there. And you see five people with me. Four people with me. One, I think one was not there that day. She was not feeling well. So Uganda is a place where refugees come, and mainly because they run from their country due to the war, and because of that, they come to find a place to live and to start life. And we go there because we go help the people to hear the word of God, first of all, to encourage them in the word of God. We know how hard it is when you don't have hope. When everything is gone, you find yourself, you are really destitute, and we need, someone need to hear that God loves, is still with them. So we see how people were welcoming us. They were happy to see us. They went to welcome us from far away, and that was great. And so what did God do there on the mission? So I want to read quickly. We reach out to the soul. Winning, we had 3,510 people who had a chance to hear the gospel. Why don't we clap for Jesus for that? That was good. And normally what I do is to teach the pastors. I call it discipleship training for church leaders and also for the church itself. For the church leaders, I bring pastors together. And we bring them back to the foundation, back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is prosperity gospel which is sweeping Africa. I think my sister will know that. There are those false teachers, false pastors who are teaching totally different thing in order to manipulate people and take advantage of them and getting money from them. So we go there and bring the gospel of Jesus, train the pastors to go back to the word of God. So we empower the youth. And also, I have implemented the literacy program there. Why? Because there are women who came from there, from Congo and different country, who, according to the culture and tradition, girls were not allowed to go to school, so they did not have a chance to go to school. So the literacy class helped them to find the time to learn and to read their Bible for themselves. And also, we gave food. We gave food for 400 refugees. That was a lot, and that was great. And also, we give clothes that you donate from here and from different places. And we also had a chance to reach out to the Muslim by the chance of connection of one pastor. He connected with the Muslim radio. It's national radio of Muslim community in Kampala. So that was great. And we also had chance to feed the refugees, and families were restored by the word of encouragement. So I want to go quickly with those slides. Those are the food we bought. And this is a distribution. So we don't just give food for everyone in the refugee camp. No. We select. We ask for the vulnerable, poor, really people who are really in the very bad shape. We say, yes, it can help you come over. So you can tell people, you can see by seeing those people who are really in the very, very bad condition. Look at that. She's crawling down just to go get some food. This one is just paralytic, you know, cannot stand up. We have to help to get, and that was a blind man, but he was brought there just to get something. And so that's what we... By God's grace and because of your prayer, we had a chance to reach out to people in the refugee camp. This word is so powerful. Why do we do that? The Bible says, Jesus said, I was hungry and you feed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me the clothes. I was in prison and you visited me. So people were happy to see us. People were happy to hear the word of God. People were happy to be a minister to them. And also, we had a chance to give some shoes. We received some shoes also from here. Pastor Vicky gave us some shoes, which were given by good people. And we also had a chance to reach out to the single mothers or single women, single mothers or widows. So those are those who were the survivor from the violence that they had in Congo. They were raped by soldiers. They were raped by people, and they survived and they fled to Uganda. So we bring them together, and also we give them the word of God, and we teach them, and also help them with some food. So that is the teaching we see. People are taking note. They've never heard that true gospel of Jesus Christ. Our topic was the blessing of knowing and doing what you are sent to do. We told the pastors, hey, you are sent to do the work of God, the gospel, to preach. Don't go away from what Jesus sent you to do. So it was a wonderful teaching, and people were very blessed. I'm trying to go fast because of time. I want to enter in the word of God. So this slide I put there to show that those are exactly the shoes we got from Pastor Vicky. And you can see the face, the joy on those kids' face when they are receiving. The children time, children ministry, and they were also expecting to get shoes. That was great. And that fellow brother from Richmond, he was good in teaching. The other man was there. He was good in singing. He went there with his music, instrumental, and he was teaching. You saw us there at the Islamic radio broadcast called Bilali. It's not easy whatsoever to be accepted to go to the Islamic radio broadcast, but that was the grace of God, and we shared about the love of Jesus. We also minister to the schools, and that school is properly for the refugees who are in the city of Kampala. So they are only refugees, and we had chance to minister to them as well. And many good things happen, and we thank God for that. Those you see there, they are all orphans. They have no parent, and they had chance. We met them, we pray with them, and also we help them with food. So the praise report is there. I've told you 3,510 received the word of God. More than 400 pastors heard the gospel. Youth were empowered, and illiterate got saved, and others joined the literacy program. And more than 400 refugees, they received the word of God, got saved, and also were encouraged. A Muslim heard the word of God. Women were encouraged, and also we had the gospel preached to the schools, and many families accepted to forgive their friends. Among our team, the sister that you saw there, she's a BC registered nurse. So it was lucky to have her there, because she was speaking about emotional and mental health. And you know, in the refugee camp, almost everyone has some emotional and mental issues. So that was good. It helped a lot of people. So what is next? You want to join maybe the team? You want to go to Africa one time? What to expect? We have opportunity for teaching families on emotional and mental healing. So if someone has that, you're expert in that, you have some knowledge about that, in the biblical perspective, of course, we are not going away from the Bible. We stand in the Bible perspective. So you're welcome to come next time. Teaching children, Sunday school, church discipleship training, and pastors training. And if someone feel like you want to do something like that, you want to join, of course, it is very important. So you can see Pastor Vicky in terms of if you want to join or you want to support the work. So after that, then, People had enough time to go to the zoo. After you already serve the gospel, you preach the gospel, you treat yourself and go to the zoo and check the nature. How beautiful is Africa, and especially Uganda is called the Pearl of Africa. So people went there, they had time to check here and there. Here we are almost ready to go to come back, and here we are at the airport, and we are coming back. So I think this is all about the slides, and I want to come back to the Word of God, and we are going to enter in our reading today, and let's take our Bible. We are going to read in the book of Matthew. Matthew 19, verse 21. And my topic is a deep thought on this word. Which word? The word that we are going to read now. A deep thought. To take a good time to think about this word. What exactly that word tells us. We're going to read Matthew chapter 19. And we start from verse, I just want to read one verse for you because of time. But you would like, on your own time, you can start from verse 16. But I read verse 19 because of time. The verse 19 says, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. I will back this message with a passage in James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. In the New Testament, 1:27, James, the Bible says this way. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Amen. Well, those are very powerful passages that I've read. And as I said, my topic is to take a deep thought on those two passages. When Pastor Vicky spoke to me about speaking today, I told him I'm mainly going to present the mission work, and also I'll be diving in the Word of God related to suffering. He was okay with that. Are you okay with that? If you're not okay, I can just pray and then go back to get the lunch. Hallelujah. Church, it's not easy to speak about giving. Every pastor knows that. It's not easy to speak about giving to God or supporting or, you know, looking after people who are destitute or in need. Why? Because mainly when you start speaking about that, people think, oh, he's after our belongings, after our money. But the Word of God is clear. And Jesus was very clear when he was in his ministry. And where we read, the Bible says, the rich man came to him running and say, hey, I want to go with you. I want to follow you. He said, well, if you want to follow me, you do good. This is a good desire to follow me. Thank you. But can you please think about one thing? Go back there. Go where you come from. And sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. This is a tough answer, and we don't see that rich man again mentioned in the Bible, which means he was not happy for this answer. He just disappeared. But there is something, brothers and sisters, which you'll agree with me, which is about the life after salvation. Think of Zacchaeus. After Zacchaeus got saved, the Bible says, he himself, without even asked by Jesus, he himself said, hey, I'll give what I have supporting the poor. If I took something wrongly, I'll pay 4 times. So the question one would ask, what is connection between following Jesus and the poor and helping the poor? What is that connection? Why is that Zacchaeus would say, after I do this, after I'm saved, I have to look after those who are unfortunate, and if I did wrong, I pay 4 times. And here again we find Jesus telling this rich man who was yearning to follow him, who came voluntarily, say, hey, you don't want to follow? Just say, hey, it's okay. Go back. Sell what you have. Give them to the poor. And then follow me. So our topic is clear. A deep thought on this word. What is the relation? What is the connection? What is the interconnection between following Jesus and serving him by helping the poor? Think of the question I asked in the beginning. I said, sometimes you take time, you ponder about the world as a Christian. Because people of the world, they have no business in that. But you as a child of God, you take time, you think and say, why am I alive when others are not there? And why am I here? Why am I in the fortunate position where others are in unfortunate? And why am I having enough chance to worship God, you know, freely, where in the world there are fellow Christians like me who are persecuted because of their faith? So those are the things we have to think of when we are following Jesus, and this is a good time to think about it. Why? Because our Lord Jesus said one day there will be a time where the Father will separate people in 2 places, on the right side, on the left side. And on the right side, there will be those sheep. And then he will tell them, I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you gave me clothes. I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was in prison, you visited me. And they will say, hey, when did we do that? And the answer is down there. Jesus said, to any little child, at those lists you gave them, you served them, you welcomed them, you showed them hospitality, you showed them generosity, you did that to me. So that's why our topic is, in this journey, is this our journey? We ought to sometimes think, how are we responding to that passage? I told you in the beginning, when I came to Canada, I told myself, I'm not going to just sit here, eat, and enjoy my life, and which I can do. I owe no one there. I owe absolutely no one. But I said, I'm not going to do that because I was there. I saw suffering. So let's go in this passage. What do we understand by the answer of Jesus? If you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possession and give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. The passage here, in this context, the conversation between that Jesus had with this young rich man, we understand here, first thing, Jesus is calling about the radical discipleship. Radical discipleship. Jesus called for radical commitment and prioritization of following him over material possessions. The passage implies that true discipleship requires a willingness to let go of earthly attachments, which all of us, we are called to be challenged with this passage. It calls about generosity and compassion, instructing the young man to sell his possession and give to the poor. Jesus emphasized the importance of generosity and compassion toward those in need. There is a call of using one resource to help others who are in need. And also Jesus said, well, by doing that, the positive thing is the heavenly treasure. He said, the earthly wealth with heavenly treasure. Jesus teaches that what we give up on earth for the sake of others and for the following him will be rewarded in heaven. Jesus emphasized the eternal value of such action. Go sell and give to the poor and then follow me. But not only that, we find here there is what we call the testing of the heart. The command serves as a test of the young man's heart and priorities. We see here it reveals whether his attachment is to this world, this wealth, or his attachment is to God. And God is calling us to focus on the spiritual part, spiritual maturity, spiritual perfection. And he calls us to think of others who are in need. And there is an invitation to follow. Then come and follow me. Which means the ultimate goal is to be in a relationship with God, with Jesus, and to follow his teaching. After you've given to the poor, then come and follow me. James, the apostle, in his teaching to the Jews, he wrote something also significant, which I connect with my teaching today. James 1:27, that says, the religion that God our Father accepts and as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by this world. There is a call here of practical compassion. There is a call here of social stability. There is a call here of holiness and purity. There is a call here of integration of faith and action. The religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I am always blessed to know that I'm in Canada because Canada is doing great works in the world. And Canada is doing wonderful things in the world by supporting and helping people who are unfortunate. And you and I, Church of God, we are blessed to be in this corner of the world. Why? Because we have peace, we have security, we are totally free. Man, I tell people, Canada is literally, I mean, I don't know how to say it, but I call them, it's a half paradise. They ask me, so what is the true paradise? I say, the true paradise we'll see when we go to heaven. But this is half paradise because there is peace, there is security, people love each other, people are friendly. I mean, Canada. So when we live in such kind of place, we may not know that some places in the world, people are literally in hell. They're suffering. And there is a call to take a thought and think deep about some of the responsibility that we are called to achieve as children of God. And trust me, God loves you so much so that he wants you to be informed and he brings such a wonderful call. Why? Because he knows you are among the blessed people and you are among those who can change the history or life of some people. So, the author of Hebrew, unfortunately we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to the angels without knowing it. Continue to remember, look at verse 3. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Is that in your Bible? Yes, it is in the Bible. The author of Hebrews wrote it so clearly in verse 3. Continue. It's a call. It's imperative. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself you were suffering. This is a wonderful statement that Paul, the author, wrote there. He spoke about to display love. And whenever we go to Africa, we display love to the unfortunate people. I told the team when we were going, I said, oh, guys, when you're going, please don't go touch. Don't touch people. Don't give hug to people. Just greet them. But they amazed me. They were going very down, greeting people, hugging people. Oh, I said, okay, glory be to Jesus. Somewhere, someone needs to just to see a smile. And that smile will be a healing for someone's heart. A healing for someone's soul. So the author says here to show love. And we understand here, you know, love is the supreme position in all the New Testament description of Christian character. Love. The brotherly love. We have to show love. And that love must be shown by action, act, not just by words. And in Hebrew, we find also, it speaks about hospitality. It's been repeated again. Hospitality. Someone said this. Few things test our love more than the disruption of our routine. And he said, do not forget hospitality to strangers. To strangers, to those you don't know. Do not forget hospitality to them. And here, he said, okay, the third one, he said, care for prisoners as though you were also afflicted. Let's think about people in prison. You may not have that bad luck to be in prison, but I was in prison. So you ask yourself, Sammy, what happened? Did you break the law? No, I did not break the law. I prayed for one child who was possessed with the witchcraft. I went to the village, they called me, they said, come, our child has witchcraft, is disturbing. You know, in Africa, they call it voodoo. So I went there, I fasted, and then I prayed for the little boy, and he was delivered, set free, and he was happy. But now, the elders of the village, I don't know what happened, I don't want to speculate here, I'm sorry. But the elders of the village, they conspire against me, and they put me in prison. 3 days! Without food, I slept in prison. But thank God, people were coming to visit me in prison. People were coming to pray with me in prison. People were coming to visit me there. That's why I understand this. He says, think of those who are in prison as if you were in prison. Remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you were yourself suffering. There is a call for empathy and solidarity. There is a call for active remembrance. There is a call for compassion for the persecuted. I monthly receive the newsletter from the mission called La Porte Ouverte, Open Door. And that's the Christians who are persecuted in the Islamic countries, Nigeria, And some places as well as India and so on, so Sri Lanka and Pakistan. And when you read the story, you just have to cry. Say, Lord, help them. Why are they suffering? Just because they've given their life to Jesus. So here there is a call to think of those who are in prison, to remember them, to display compassion, to show them compassion, to be a Christian who feels responsibility of others who are going through tough time because of their faith. Church, not as usual, but today God is calling us to think deep of those words concerning loving the unfortunate people, thinking of the people who are destitute, thinking of the people who are suffering because of their faith, thinking of the people who are really in a bad position, not because they like, but because of the world realities, because of what happening in the world, maybe the system of the world. So people ask me, what inspired me to do that? What inspired me to be going back there? What is the inspiration? Let me read for you my inspiration quickly. If someone can save a life, listen to this. If someone can save a life by giving their kidney. If someone can save a life of another by giving them or by giving him his kidney and live with one kidney. Something that they cannot get back. When the kidney is gone, it's gone. When you take one of your kidney, you donate, you cannot get it back. It's gone. It's gone. But God will protect you and keep you. And people live without one kidney. So that's my inspiration. How much more should I give my money to save others from deadly starvation, knowing that I can always get money back? Hallelujah! I can always get money back. I can always work hard and get that money back. That's my inspiration. The second inspiration that helped me is, as someone who lived in a refugee camp with my family for 5 years, 2003, 2008, I know starvation, I know suffering, I know any bad thing that happened for people who live there, I witnessed. I saw with my eyes the neighbors dying because of starvation. I vividly think about even now. They died because of lack of food. So why should I not remember those who are going in the same situation? They say in French, la faim tue lentement mais sûrement. Famine kills slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. What else is my inspiration? Think of this. If someone, listen, church, listen to this. If someone can do everything to rescue a dog or a cat which is suffering or about to die, which we don't know where the animal go after they die, how much more should we worry about a human being that soul is very important to God? Those are my inspiration. Those are my simple inspiration that keep me moving and going there. Church, I am blessed. Why not give? God has taken me from poverty. He has placed me in a better position. I can find a job. I can work and get paid. Do you know what 15 Canadian dollars can do to someone in Africa? This can pay a school fees for a child for one trimester. Do you know what $30 can do for one family? This can feed that family for 2-3 days. Do you know? That's why my wife and I, sometimes our practical way of doing these things are easy. What do? Sometimes my wife and I, we agree to skip breakfast for 3 days per week and save that $5 times two, $5 for me for breakfast, $5 for half of breakfast, that is $10. For 3 days, that is $30, and send it to Africa. Hallelujah! We never die. When we skip breakfast, we never die. But people are being saved and helped because of that. Some saying here that I want to close by quoting them. There is a saying that I read from Mother Teresa. It says, if you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. Another one is called Winston Churchill says this: we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. John Bunyan, he says this, "You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you back." And finally, Audrey Hepburn says, "As you grow older, you will discover that you have two hands, one for helping yourself and the other for helping others." My prayer this afternoon is that, having placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we would understand the divine call of helping our brethren and sisters who are in tribulation, first of all, by praying for their souls, praying for them, helping them in our prayer, and ask God to help them and sustain them, and if possible, to embrace the blessed opportunity of joining and serving others by extending our love and showing compassion to brothers and sisters who are destitute. We are all going to the same heaven. Why not help another? A deep thought on this word, the word of Jesus. Go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and then follow me. A deep thought about this word. The true religion consists of looking after widows and orphans. A deep thought about today's word. Think of the prisoner as if you were one. Let's bow our head and pray. Lord Jesus, I'm profoundly grateful for the salvation you've granted to us and to me personally, and the blessing that you've given us, Lord, to be in this beautiful country. You have bestowed upon us your Holy Spirit, your grace, your love, and your blessings. I pray, O Lord God, that you empower us to be vessels. Vessels that you're going to use, instrument that you're going to use to be the answer for the hopeless people. To be the answer for people in need. As you said in your word, "I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was in prison, you visited me." Father, we pray that we find favor in your eyes so that we may be the one to serve you in this way. Help us understand that we are on this world just temporary, and help us use all the opportunity in the better way so that one day we would hear that jubilee word, "Good and faithful servant, you were faithful to the little thing. Go to the kingdom of the Father." Bless us with this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.